You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
Although many have been heralding 2023 as the first year in three without COVID over our shoulders, the truth is that the virus is still out there. Recent reports have been reflecting on the support in place for those who were suffering with mental health issues during the worst parts of the pandemic, as well as various other issues within the government's response. They also focused on long COVID and the disproportionate lack of support available for Māori and Pacifica. To learn more, I've spoken to Dr. Mona Jeffries from Te Haerenga Waka, Victoria University of Wellington, a principal investigator in the report, to learn more about the findings.
That's right, but actually just to say it wasn't only about long COVID, it was about the impact of COVID. So we were looking at people who'd had COVID and looking to see how that impacted them across loads of different domains. So we're looking at health, we were looking at social well-being, financial well-being, whānau and family well-being, cultural well-being, and we found across each of those domains that people who had COVID were significantly impacted in many different ways. I guess the really key thing that stood out for us was that mental health was a real struggle. So for people who had COVID-19, and we looked at people who had COVID before the Omicron outbreak, so up until the end of November 2021, people were included in our study, and the rates of anxiety and depression were really, really high, way, way higher than people who were impacted by the pandemic in other ways but didn't have COVID. So we've compared our results to the national report that the New Zealand Health Survey put out. We also found that the rates were much higher in Māori than they were in non-Māori. So we had our study was set up comparing tangata whenua with tangata tiriti. And within tangata tiriti, we had a very strong Pacific team, and the rates of mental distress were very high among Pacific people as well. When we looked just at long COVID, then the effects were even more stark. And when we looked at people, disabled people, so tangata whaikaha Māori and disabled tangata tiriti, then the rates were even higher. So we know that disabled people are already disadvantaged in many ways in terms of accessing care. And when we see this much higher level of mental distress and even higher barriers for disabled people trying to access mental health care, then that gap is really, really huge. And that's one of our biggest recommendations, is that the mental health services really do need to be responsive to the current pandemic and future pandemics as well.
What has been holding back these sorts of responses within the last year? You said that the research period, the surveying period, ended at November 2021, correct?
That's correct, yeah, but obviously it takes us time then. So we included people in our study who had COVID before then. We then had to do the study and then had to do the analysis and the reporting. So, yeah, that obviously does take time, but there's no reason to think that the results would be any different for people who have experienced COVID during the Omicron waves that we've been experiencing since then. I think the effects that we're seeing are unrelated to the variant of COVID and more related to the context of people's lives and the huge impact that the pandemic is having on people in terms of loss of jobs. So we know that people lost their job because they had COVID, because they couldn't turn up to work. We know that people lost their jobs because of generally the pandemic as well. Obviously the cost of living is rising, you know, on unprecedented rates, and that's putting real stress on families who are trying to cope. When we're looking at long COVID, then the physical ongoing effects are having really big mental health impacts as well. So people are struggling with loss of identity. Who am I now? I used to be able to go to work. I used to be able to help out at the sports club. I used to be able to go for a run. Can't do those things now. People have lost their jobs because they're too sick to work. And long COVID isn't recognized as a disability. And so that means that the benefits that people with long COVID are entitled to are means tested based on their partner's income. So if you live with somebody who is able to work, then you are not eligible for the benefits you would be eligible for if you had a recognized disability. And yet the impacts on people's lives if they have long COVID are huge. So about half of people with ongoing COVID symptoms at 3 months, which is how we define long COVID, were unable to fulfill their usual activities to a moderate or severe extent. So we used very standard questions that have been used across the world, and we found really similar results to the international evidence as well, that the impact of long COVID on people's mental well-being, social well-being, and financial well-being is enormous.
Are there any fundamental changes that you think now need to be made to better accommodate to the people who've been dealing with long COVID, especially those who are disabled and those who are Māori and Pacifica?
Absolutely. So we have made a call for a national long COVID centre. So it's really important that services are put in place at a national level so that we don't create more inequities than we already know exist. So we know that there are places, particularly for rural people, where accessing services can be really difficult. We know that Māori have faced real barriers in accessing primary healthcare because of cost barriers and because of being unable to register with a GP. So it's very important that those barriers are not perpetuated in what we do new. So what we're calling for is a national long COVID clinic working with primary care providers and really importantly working with community level providers, iwi providers, Māori health and social service providers, Pacific health and social services providers, because those are the people who we know supported people with COVID throughout the pandemic, particularly when levels of isolation were really, really high. Then those were the people who understood their communities and knew what those people needed and wanted and were able to provide the care and support that people needed. So what we don't want is to just suggest that we do what we've, what's often been done and roll out some kind of service which has inequity at the heart of it, because that's what happens when we use the type of services that we have always been using. So we're calling for a complete shift in mindset for a national centre which will coordinate and work with existing community-level providers who are doing an amazing job.
And on the note of inequity, part of what you noted in a recent statement was that some of the issues that have come about with the government's COVID response could be considered as te tiriti or Waitangi breaches. Why do you think this?
Well, we know that right at the beginning, then virtually every Māori academic and public health provider got together. They formed an amazing group, and that group were not listened to right from the beginning. And it was only when the rates of vaccination for Māori seemed to be low and weren't meeting the same levels as they were for non-Māori that the government and the Ministry of Health started listening to the people who knew. But those people knew right from the beginning because they organised themselves in March 2020. So what we are calling for is that the financial support and the autonomy is given to Māori providers who know how to reach their communities, know how to deliver care in a way that is accessible and appropriate, and the level of focus is taken off exactly what those people are doing with every single dollar, and instead the trust is given to iwi, to Māori providers, to say, here's the funding that you need to deliver your services, do it in the way that works. And that is essentially what co-governance should look like, and that's what we will be calling for.
And lastly, this is an election year. Why do you think that it's important for New Zealand to continue keeping the pandemic in the front of their minds when voting this year?
It seems to be unbelievable to think people couldn't continue thinking about the pandemic. We are all living with the ongoing consequences, and yet some people are impacted much, much more. So my call would be to all of those political parties to focus on the people who need your help most, to focus on the people who are living with the greatest impacts of that pandemic. So we need to start thinking about really overhauling the benefit system because so many people have lost their jobs because of the pandemic and because of health. So, yeah, I guess that would be my very strong call, is that we don't focus on the people who don't need your help, yet maybe the ones you're voting for. You should be thinking about the people for whom the pandemic has had the greatest impact.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.